and welcome to episode 18 of the Nolan Fans Podcast, the official podcast of NolanFans.com. I'm Alex Hawes.
And I'm Teddy Blass. On this episode, we'll be talking about new production photos released via the Mindcrime game, aka Stage 2. Also, a new viral video for Inception where Chris Nolan interviews dream researchers. And lastly, we will talk about the third Inception trailer being with Iron Man 2 on May 7th. And we'll wrap it up with questions from the live chat.
So let's get right into it. So the Inception Mindcrime viral game has been used in Stage 1 to release two posters.
Right.
Right? The very first Inception poster, which is Leo in the city with the water. And the second one, which is
the city buildings.
Right, the city buildings with the word Inception spelled out of them. When Stage 2 was released, there was no new material. It was an improvement of the game, which was kind of cool. And there was like a leaderboard thing, so you could see how people are scoring. But there hasn't been any new material released through Stage 2 yet.
Right.
Until just last week, where new production photos started showing up randomly in the city. And we kind of thought this was, because one was being discovered like each day, or like the first one was discovered and then the next two were discovered in the subsequent days.
Right.
And we were thinking that, you know, this might be a daily thing up until like the trailer's release. We didn't know at the time that the trailer was going to be released. With Iron Man 2, but we knew that there was a good chance it was going to be.
Right.
So yeah, it's three photos. The first one is with...
Was the first one with Ken Watanabe?
Yes, in the shot from the trailer where everyone's laying down on like those hospital beds.
Right.
With like the dream machine all connected to them and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I think that's Leo DiCaprio in the foreground laying down on the bed. And then another shot is with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Ellen Page in a hotel room with like explosives. He's putting explosives in a bag or something, it looks like. And then the last one is Leo DiCaprio outside pointing a gun somewhere with a safe right behind him.
Right.
Which, that's cool. It's like a safe outside, it looks like.
Yeah. That's cool because each photo, it doesn't kind of feel like... Because sometimes with production photos, it can kind of get spoilery where you're just...
Yeah.
Or like in a sense where you're seeing like new stuff that you haven't seen in moving images, so it kind of feels weird.
Right.
But like this is all stuff that seems kind of familiar because it seems like scenes that we've seen in the trailer, just like
different
parts.
Right.
So I don't mind that so much, but if we were seeing like new shots of them somewhere else, I might feel like, oh, should I be seeing this?
And I'm glad that's not happening.
Right.
Because I don't want to be spoiled at all
for
this movie. But it's nice. It's, I don't know, it's a really pretty movie, it's gonna seem like. You know, trailers, all the cinematography for like these pictures, and even the first production photo we got with Leo with the gun in somewhere,
right?
With that,
what they said was Ken's office, or that's what someone was speculating, possibly,
because it did have like oriental looking art on the wall.
Yeah,
but yeah, that looks totally cool.
Definitely cool photos, and it's good. You kind of see the main four characters in each of these photos, which is good.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like we just need photos of these characters and posters now, like character poster set.
Yeah, I want new posters.
I know, we're getting so down to the wire now. It's like,
yeah, I'm excited.
That's kind of cool via the viral website, if you want to call Mindcrime that. Craziness happened on the forums. Like, everyone's just...
Yeah.
Going through all of the new material we've been getting and basically finding new stuff.
Right. And this was also related to the Mindcrime game in that there was like an Inception poster at like... In the game.
Right.
And there was like a sticky note on it that said... Send to Captain
Darren Bartel. And then someone just decided to Google that.
Oh, yeah, we'll Google that. And then here comes this video on YouTube.
Right. Which even seems weird because the video title says Chris Nolan in it, doesn't it?
It says Chris Nolan research footage.
Right, so like, It's funny that no one was searching Chris Nolan and found this.
At the time, right.
We had to find this by searching, you know, this character name.
And I must have seen this video.
Turns out to be a real person. Is that the real...
I don't know.
Because it seems like
Darren
the first...
Bartle's a real person.
Right. The video is three different people being interviewed by Nolan. What looks like in his office, because there's like a following poster in the background and like Dark Knight DVDs on the shelves and stuff. And these people are either psychiatrists or whatever, or doctors, and they're talking about dreams and and what the body's doing during dreams and lucid dreaming and stuff like that. And the first two people, I believe, are real people.
Yeah.
And the third person is very obviously an actress.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know who picked you. You're acting too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the first two people are very convincing, and the things that they're talking about are very interesting, where, you know, it's almost like you're getting a crash course in, like, dream psychology.
Right.
And I had a psychology class last summer, and it was very interesting when we were talking about dreams. And that stuff is always generally interesting, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they were talking about, like, some, like, real stuff. And they're like, oh, like, the conversation moves towards, like, what Inception is about, you know, about, like, controlling dreams.
Right.
It doesn't seem that obvious until this lady starts talking.
Right. Yeah. And it's not...
Yeah, it's...
And at parts, it's really not so much what she says, because the first minute or two that she's talking is basically kind of the same stuff the other two people were saying.
Yeah.
It's just the way she's delivering it seems very odd.
Yeah.
Like where
she already heard the first two interviews. Like she was in the room while they were being interviewed or something. Like, I don't know.
The other people are like, they seem like they're having a conversation with Chris and they're trying to tell him something. Like, I want to tell you about dreams because you want to know about dreams.
Right.
It seems like she's given a presentation on dreams. But
then
it starts to take a weird turn where she kind of talks about this weird project.
Right, like military?
Yeah, like...
The term was Project Somnussen, which is... fake Inception thing.
The drug.
The drug.
Right. We believe, right?
I think, yeah.
I haven't paid too much attention because I don't want to be totally, again, spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I kind of like skim through things and get the idea. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I think that's a drug.
Yeah, so this video just popped up. When I saw it, it had 16 views. And... That was totally crazy, and I watched it, and it's like,
yeah, where is it at now? 13,000 views.
13,000 views, thanks to us.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just like all of their film sites linking to our website right after we posted it.
Yeah, so creds to was it the maestro who did the
I don't know who founded it. Don't get that wrong though.
Yeah, so props to him and everyone else who's been, like, digging through everything to find stuff.
And that includes hacking.
Right. Which, I guess it's not kind of here, but that can go into more forum members digging through stuff and doing crazy things to find stuff. Just like we found Stage 2, which was basically hacking. Because we all knew where the URL is.
Right.
So people were just checking the URL
every day.
Right. So it got a little more complicated than that.
Yeah, it did.
But,
go back up to the top. Someone found out that, because he says her interview leads to ProjectSomnussen.org. So that might have just been, like, a guess. Like, oh, it's called Project Somnussen, and they're all using the .orgs. So, like, okay, the next website's going to be ProjectSomnussen.org.
Right.
But when you do a Who Is search on it, the domain name's actually owned by Warner Brothers.
Right.
And... when you go there, it's just green text right now, and it says Telnet space Telnet dot projectsomnussen.org. So obviously, it's not like they just bought the domain name so no one else buys it. Like, I think they might actually be planning on doing something with it.
Right.
Because they're using it. Yeah. I'm not really sure what Telnet is or what it's used for, but apparently it looks like the command prompt or terminal application OS X. And mess around with the directories.
Right.
And some directories that were found were research, Project Somnussen, passive device, and the loc.txt.
Right. So it seems like they're planning something.
Yeah.
Maybe this is what they're saving for stage three or not. I just think, one, it's awesome that Warner Brothers has this crazy viral thing going on.
Totally.
And they've got all this stuff planned. And it's even crazier that we've got people finding all this stuff.
Yeah.
And like,
but it's fun, though. This is the fun part of the whole thing. This is like kind of what we've been waiting for the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're like hitting our heads up against the wall saying like, okay, Warner Brothers, can you start doing this now? We're 3 months. Can you start?
So they're starting to kick things in high gear.
Yeah.
The next kick in the butt is going to be the Inception trailer, the third one, we found was confirmed to be with Iron Man 2 on May 7th. We were speculating for a while.
Right.
Everyone was convinced that what else can it be with?
Right, just because it's the biggest movie so close to its release, right. Warner Brothers has to release the trailer with Iron Man.
Right, it's going to be the biggest movie of the summer, besides possibly like Toy Story 3. Mm-hmm. But like, this is the same mark, like the same
demographic.
Group. Yeah, exactly. So
it's so great because they pass up the opportunity to have their trailer in front of Avatar.
Right.
And I don't know now if that was such a bad thing, but it just seemed like at the time I was thinking, like, really, you're going to put your trailer in front of Sherlock Holmes and not Avatar?
Right.
Like, Avatar's going to make a killing and Sherlock Holmes is, like, crap.
It's a money thing, but now this is critical time and it's been a fight to everyone's trying to get on Iron Man, put their movie in front of
right,
Iron Man.
Because this is going to be like the first summer movie, basically.
Yeah, this is kicking off the summer. The theaters are going to be packed, and everyone's going to be witnessing the new Inception trailer.
Yeah,
we don't know how long it's going to be.
It can't be any shorter than the second trailer, right? Are any trailers normally shorter than the ones before it?
Yeah, it
like that never happens.
It could be. I was talking to Danny, and he was asking how long he thought it would be. I said probably a minute 50 on the short end.
What was the second one? A minute 40?
Something, maybe a minute 30.
A minute 30, okay.
Something in that area. It seems like a minute 50 when you're kind of doing... This is probably the final trailer.
Right.
Like, you need something that's like 2 minutes. So, at the short end, I'm probably guessing 150. The long end, maybe 210.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like you want to hold stuff back, and you don't really need to overdo it with a movie like this. No. So, a good brief trailer.
Yeah.
That just makes everyone just go, is that the movie that's playing next? Please?
Right.
Especially since the buzz around Iron Man 2 is kind of right now.
Yeah.
I
know, it's gonna be exciting. I'm excited to hear the reaction of a sold-out movie theater when they see Inception.
Right.
Because the time that we saw the first Inception trailer was in front of Inglourious Basterds at the midnight showing.
Right.
And I remember the audience's reaction was like, oh my god, what just happened? Because it's the first time we get to see anything of this movie.
Yeah.
Which is great. And yeah, so that was like a positive reaction. I don't remember so much if... Where were we? At Winter Park for Sherlock Holmes? I don't know if that was so packed.
The biggest difference between this and Inglourious Basterds will be Inglourious Basterds was rated R. So, one, we're dealing with basically adults.
Right.
So, it's a much more mature audience, so they're going to dig it more.
Yeah.
And two, it's you're seeing the Quentin Tarantino movie on opening day. You're kind of a nerd buff.
Yeah.
So, we might get some dickhead teenagers in there. So, it might not be as cool, but it's going to be freaking packed.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to be just ready for cool movie magic.
I know I am, dude. When's the last time we saw, like, a decent movie in a theater?
Yeah.
Like an action movie. Like an awesome action movie where I was just like, yeah, that was cool.
Awesome action movie's been a while.
And that doesn't include...
I guess you can count Avatar as an action movie.
Yeah, yeah, actually, you're right, Avatar.
You know.
Also, the Inception trailer will be attached to IMAX versions of Iron Man 2.
So if you are going to see the IMAX screening, you'll get to see the Inception trailer. So you don't have to worry about, no, do I got to go to a regular theater to see it now? No.
Because that's going to be great, because we're going to be at Point Orlando, which is going to be the theater we're going to see Inception in.
Right.
So that's... I'm excited for that.
I've been wondering if the buzz around Iron Man 2 being kind of meh is that same crap that was coming with pre-Avatar stuff. Although...
You know, yeah, it might be.
Although when Avatar was... When there was the world premiere, the screening of Avatar in Hollywood, everything post that was extremely positive.
Yeah. I wonder if
but the same thing's gonna happen. Pre that, I think people were kind of like... Well, expectations really high, really, really high, and it's just a good movie, so you're kind of, like, disappointed.
Yeah. But if you zoom out 2 months from that, it was like, what, James Cameron's doing another movie kind of thing? Like, no one knew what that movie was, even well after the 15-minute preview, like, in August or July or whatever.
It was August, early August.
Wherever that was.
Yeah, that whole thing was weird, and I had someone try to... tell me that the both the Inception and the Airbender trailers weren't that good because you have no idea what's going on, and they try to compare it to the Avatar trailer, which is 3.5 minutes long.
It's like a short movie.
And it gives away the whole movie.
Right. Yeah. And you see the whole story arc in that trailer.
Right. I was like, people didn't rush out to go see Avatar because of that trailer. It was because of the word of mouth. It was, and, you know, there was buzz around it, not because of the damn trailer.
Yeah, but it's because like James Cameron was like being interviewed like on like ABC. I'm watching World News Tonight, and they're talking about Avatar.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen very often with movies.
Yeah, so whatever. Either way, May 7th should be cool. The way things have been going, it seems like we will get the trailer online a couple days afterwards,
or maybe a bootleg of.
A French bootleg early.
Yeah, maybe.
That's the way it was with the second trailer, right? Yeah,
and I didn't watch that.
Neither did I.
I saw some words I didn't want to see on accident.
I heard about the folding city.
I think it was worded like a crumbling city or something,
yeah.
Right?
I heard about that.
But like, that didn't happen.
I saw that and the line, Leo's line.
Yeah, that's why I have to steal it.
Right.
I remember seeing that.
But you're like, those two parts are like my favorite parts of the trailer.
Yeah.
So, thank God those parts are so badass, I didn't mind that I already knew them.
Right.
So, yeah.
Also, do you think this is just going to be like the Show West trailer? Or what was shown at Show West? Because there was that additional footage.
I mean, right. Well, that was we'll like know three, right away. That was like a longer thing. That was like a 3.5.
Oh, yeah, there was.
Maybe even longer trailer.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if it will be...
But it was set up in a trailer-based format, though, right? Because, like, it's not just like here's a scene.
Right? Yeah, it's not here's a scene, and it's not like Avatar Day, where it's like, here's a long scene, blank, here's another long scene, right. Blank. It's kind of an extended trailer. Mm-hmm. Which is funny to think, we were just talking about Avatar's trailer being 3.5 minutes long. It's not going to be that. I doubt they'll do that. But I figure we'll see some of the scenes that people were talking about that they saw at Show West and at WonderCon.
Right.
So, that wraps up the stories, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So, questions. We can run right into the email.
The email.
We did get an awesome email. Was it from Joshua, was the kid's name?
Yes.
Which we met in the chat. The other day, we've been having kind of little chat meetings and talking. Mm-hmm.
This is the guy that has seen The Dark Knight 20 times.
Yeah. I thought I was crazy for seeing it 5 times in IMAX.
I thought I was crazy for seeing it 4 times in IMAX.
Right. And I bought... One time, I bought you and JC tickets. So it's like, I bought seven right. IMAX tickets.
Yeah, you did.
I thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
And,
That is a lot of money, because
No. This Joshua saw it, like, a poop ton of times. And so and like, he basically wrote in explaining his whole experience of how he saw it in all these different places. So it's a really cool email, but then he had a little question for us at the end.
Well, he was talking about, he was going on to a rant about the IMAX and the LIMAX theaters. And he was saying, like, how are these theaters still open? How are these people allowed to get away with something like that?
Right.
And I was like, dude, you need to listen to episode one of our podcast, because that was like,
that was the whole tangent. That was
the whole podcast, really.
Yeah.
Aside from a couple news stories. But yeah, he said it was very nice to have my feelings about the LIMAX expressed from another perspective. I agree with all the points you had and share your annoyance of the Batman 3 rumors that we talked about. Yeah. The occasional one does make me giggle. He said that.
Yeah.
He said it's frustrating to explain the LIMAX to someone who doesn't understand, but your podcast has proved helpful in assisting to relate the difference to others. Yeah. Because that, cause when you just go and say to someone like, oh, like that's the IMAX theater, and but you're like, no, it's not really an IMAX theater.
Right. Like we can probably explain it to kids our age pretty easily.
Right. Like, but like explaining it like to my dad or your dad.
Yeah. Explaining it to my dad is just like
no, it says IMAX on the ticket. It's an IMAX theater. Here I go.
Right.
But it's like, no, it's not a 70-foot screen.
I remember when they were building Altamont, and this was right before they re-released Dark Knight. My mom was saying, I had assumed they were building something. Oh, they're building a new IMAX theater in Altamont. And I'm thinking, oh, they're building something. I should drive by and see it. No, it's just AMC Theater was demolishing one of the tiny theaters and making the screen bigger and pushing the seats closer.
It's still, the whole thing still amazes me, where it's just, like, what? How does that even work? Because you're not even getting the full picture that we saw in IMAX onto the screen.
Yeah, it doesn't work with real IMAX movies, like we said.
Right, with The Dark Knight. Like, what, does some of it show, like, on the wall and on the front two rows? Just, that doesn't work. I mean, I suppose it's all right for movies
Star Trek
and what Iron Man 2 and what Inception will be.
Right.
But still, don't charge this same $15 ticket price.
The ticket price definitely should not be as much.
Right. Just make it, put it halfway between.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways.
So Josh had a question for us. That question is, what are your favorite non-Nolan films, and who are some of your other favorite directors or writers? Favorite non-Nolan film?
Favorite non-Nolan film. Well, it says films, so I can...
Films, yeah.
That works nicely.
I can't listen to one. I could open up our flick charts.
Don't do that. My flick chart is so bad. That it's got like the Truman Show like at number 2.
Oh, yeah.
It's like I need to go back and
you need to just do your top 10 and redo the top 10 over and over again.
So my favorite non-Nolan films, I don't know. I really don't have a good answer for this. I recently rewatched the Lord of the Rings trilogy on Blu-ray.
Right.
And that might be like that's really high up. I don't know if those are my favorite films. Right. But it might as well be, because I'm totally biased because I've read the Lord of the Rings book, and that story has a special place in my heart.
Right.
So seeing that on film is awesome, and I really enjoy what Peter Jackson did to Tolkien's work. I don't know what else.
Right. Yeah, it's always hard listing favorite films. I always want to, like, categorize stuff. Like, what's my favorite comedy film?
Oh,
I can tell you that.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before. Like, what do you think the best film is versus your favorite film?
Right. Yeah.
That's a big deal.
There is a difference. This is favorite. My favorite non-Nolan films, if I could list, let's list three or four. I'm really fond of Signs and The Sixth Sense. Like, those movies, although I don't think there's many flaws with Sixth Sense, but even with Signs and all of its flaws, like, I just look past them. It's, I've, been watching that movie for 8 years now. And then I also really like Road to Perdition. It's a really awesome movie from the director, Sam Mendes, who did American Beauty. Great movie. And let's do something that's kind of different.
I know
that What am I listing 2002 movies?
I don't know, maybe.
Minority Report's really good. That would be one of my favorite sci-fis, but something...
Minority Report might be my favorite sci-fi movie.
Yeah. Lost in Translation is like just a...
I haven't seen it.
It's so funny. And it's just good and funny and makes me want to travel to Japan.
Nice. I can't answer the directors and writers question.
Yeah. I just feel like there's no one I like more than I like Nolan and Shyamalan. Like, those are writer-directors whose more or less every film I enjoy.
Right.
It's hard to say that with anyone else, because usually someone's got a movie that you don't dig. You know, Peter Jackson, okay, you know.
Well, all those three other, Lord other, of... all his other movies besides the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Right.
Yeah. Almost. So, Lovely Bones is... Just saw that the other day on Blu-ray. Not good. Even, like, I really dig Michael Mann. Like, he and The Insider are really awesome. You need to see those. As soon as I get those on Blu-ray.
What, The Insider?
The Insider?
Yeah.
But then, like, he does Miami Vice and Public Enemies, which were both...
Yeah, Public Enemies. I don't know. So I felt excited going into the film because... I didn't see the trailer.
Right.
So that was one of those things where it's like, I didn't know what this movie was going to be about at all.
Yeah.
I saw it. And it was very interesting. The end was like what killed it, kind of. But, I don't know. I enjoyed it besides the ending, I think.
The digital killed that movie, if you ask me.
Yeah, that might have been the first movie that I noticed that. Where I was like, what's up with the frame rate? Or like, why does this look like home video?
It's very odd how he... decides to use digital. He uses digital, like, in a very digital way. It's not how a lot of people will use digital and go, all right, we're going to make digital look like film.
Right.
He's doing, I'm shooting on video, so I'm going to shoot what video can do well, which is, I don't have to light the scene. I just, I can have three people with small cameras walking, shooting whatever they want.
Yeah.
So it's not, I'm not lighting for one particular shot, I'm just filming. And also night scenes is really good with video because you can pick up things really well. You can shoot a whole city block. And
but see, like, I wonder if, like, that can be used very well if it can be used appropriately if you're doing something kind of like The Office, the TV show, where the camera is almost either a character or the camera is known to be there.
Right.
But if you're shooting, like, a film... The camera's not supposed to be there.
Right.
Like, you're an invisible person and you're watching this action unfold.
Right.
But like the home video feel to it, it doesn't seem authentic.
It feels weird. I think it doesn't really fit with the time. Wow, this is a tangent. It doesn't really fit well with the 1930s time period of Public Enemies.
Right.
But I think what he was trying to do with that was like...
Because why didn't he just make it black and white?
Yeah. Right. I think what he was trying to do was, what if you had a video camera in 1930?
Yeah.
This is just, like, if you can go back in time with a digital video camera and film this shit happen, this is what it would look like.
Right.
I think that was his approach, but I don't think it really works.
But, like, it wasn't really filmed that way, right? Like, the camera wasn't all shaky and, like...
I mean, parts were.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm remembering it right then.
Yeah. So, that's our answer to that question. I could list directors. We've listed this in the forum, some of the directors and stuff that we dig, and you can go check that out there. All right.
What did you think about Jeff?
Butcher?
Could be Butcher.
Commenting on the front page? Awesome.
Yeah, totally. That was the coolest thing ever. When I saw his name, I was like, wait, who is that? That's not a user. Right. And then, because the name was familiar, and then I looked on the article, and you mentioned in your write-up that...
Yeah.
This guy writes... He wrote the huge article on Hero Complex.
Right.
I was like, oh my god, he's commenting. That's so cool.
Yeah. I was impressed with the article, so I felt compelled to include his name. Which sometimes I'll just go, well, LA Times wrote an article.
Right.
But I thought it was a really good article, so I...
It was very well written, and it was really long.
I wonder how he found us. I wonder what... If he was just getting a bunch of links from us.
Yeah.
He was getting traffic from us, and he's like, oh, Nolan fans, let me see this. Oh, they like my article. I'm going to comment.
All right.
I'm wondering if that was the deal. But that was really cool.
Or he could have, like, he could just have been looking through, like, the link backs,
mm-hmm.
where, because they use WordPress also. And, like, in our comments, if you notice, sometimes, like, if the film stage or slash film post, right. and it'll look like it's a comment kind mm-hmm. of thing, which I kind of, I like those, because you can see what time they link to us,
right.
which is cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. It feels cool knowing that people are paying attention to the site. The site's really...
Yeah.
We've got a lot of people looking at it now. It's cool.
We do.
I just want Warner Brothers to be looking at it. Please, it's like the one person not looking at the site.
Yeah, a whole company.
But I just thought it was really cool that we got to interact with him and ask him questions, and he knew stuff about Inception that we didn't really quite know yet, so he got to share a little bit of it, so that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Inception's possible Oscar chances?
I think that, depending on how good the movie is, I think there's a shot at some stuff.
Right.
Wally Pfister
always gets best cinematography. Anytime he shoots a movie, he basically gets a nomination.
Right. Yeah, and I think this isn't going to be any different right. because of the way the trailers look and the production photos look. The movie's really pretty looking.
Right. And I also think this is why I thought Dark Knight deserved more cinematography credit, although it got a lot. I think it should have won because he had to shoot on IMAX. That's not easy.
Yeah, no, that's
especially
not
when
easy.
He's talking about there's a focus range of like 6 inches.
Yeah.
So it's like this, mm-hmm. and if I'm moving the camera, I gotta stay in focus. It.
Right. There's no autofocus on those IMAX cameras.
And that's probably why there's like scenes that are definitely blurry in that movie.
That, yeah, like, I've complained about that. Like, actually in the theater, I think, like, on the second time that or maybe it was even on the first time.
Right.
Where it's like, it was one of the IMAX scenes, and your eyes are exploding right. at all of the visual input. And it's like a sweeping scene. It's like, that's not in focus.
And then, that just reminds me of Pete yelling at me. Because I was talking about reshoots.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Nolan doesn't do reshoots, and he's like, don't you know Nolan doesn't, you know, he's a professional, he doesn't do reshoots. Although...
What are you, some layman?
Yeah. Although everyone else in the industry does reshoots, except for Chris, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, maybe if he reshot, there would be some scenes in focus again, you know?
Yeah, that's also true.
Because that's half the time that's what happens. You realize, oh, I didn't cover that well, or...
Right.
Blah, 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 let's get that again, if we can. Although I do admire the ability to just shoot everything straightforward and not need to reshoot or
to loop
dialogue. And
even if you have like an extensive checklist of all the different film or all the different scenes you need to film, it's so easy that you can just lose one little thing. Or like, because the movie's always evolving even after the script is written down. Like you can follow the script, the final script of a movie and watch the movie and there's some things that are a little different. Or it's like you just want to change something. And if you don't end up... I mean, it's so easy to
yeah.
so easy I mean, to just miss some little part.
Right. Definitely.
And
there's some filmmakers that are... Like Hitchcock was a guy who said the most boring part about filmmaking is making the film. Mm, he was like, I already saw the whole film in my head.
Right.
So, I mean, I think there's some people that are really meticulous like that, and they pre-plan and storyboard.
Right.
Where they don't really need that. But then there's people that are very organic, and it's like, when you're on set, they're like, well, let's put the camera low, and let's do this and that. And then sometimes, in the process of all that, you forget what's going on.
Sure.
Any questions from the chat that we didn't talk about that you want to hear? What do you think about Nolan's comment that Marion plays a twisted character?
I didn't know that, first of all. Did you know when he commented on that?
I think so. That's definitely familiar to me. It sounds like...
Well, I've heard a couple things about Marion, but I don't know if it's all true or not.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been paying, obviously, too much attention to all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I can kind of see that. I remember some of the stuff we saw in France... During the filming?
With knives?
Yeah. I just remember thinking, okay, this is weird.
Yeah.
You know. So, I mean, I'm interested in learning that by watching the movie, basically.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that's probably going to drive Leo's character, which we kind of discussed with the Hero Complex article with emotions and strong motivation driving the character of Cobb.
Yeah. Do you think Inception will be a franchise, or can it be a franchise? I have no idea. I guess we just have to wait to see.
Yeah. I mean, you can say yeah, because it kind of sounds like it's going to be very related to The Matrix, but I really hope it doesn't turn into The Matrix sequels.
Right. Well, you know...
And I feel confident that Nolan wouldn't end up doing something like that if he didn't think it was necessary.
Right. I say, unless he's... Because it's the way he talks about it, he talks about, I've had this movie planned for a while, and I wrote the script.
Like, 8 years ago.
So unless he's really kind of saying, well, I have... You know, he's hiding that he has sequels in mind.
Yeah.
From his wording, it doesn't sound like this is kind of that deal. You know,
I wonder because if he is hiding the sequels from us, there's like two approaches he could do. Is one is like, well, I'm just gonna see how it goes, and then if it does good, I'll leave it open ended.
Right.
Or it seems like it's gonna be a rich enough universe where you can get more than one film out of this thing.
Right.
So I don't know.
It just depends on how they approach it. When I was in New York meeting with Knight, he was talking about Airbender being a trilogy and how he didn't like the... He was like, can we come up with a different term than sequels?
Yeah.
He's like, I think of sequels as you're deciding to continue the story for whatever reasons. You're continuing the story to make money or, you know, to whatever.
Well, that's the only reason, really.
He's like, that's not what... The Airbender trilogy is. This is completing the story.
Right.
The story is not complete in the first movie.
Right.
The other movies are there to complete the story, not to continue the story.
Well, you know? Who are calling the final two Airbender movies sequels?
Well, I think that's just what you call them. You call them sequels. But he's like that term's kind of got the weird...
I agree with him. They're not sequels, right? Because... Like Star Wars?
Do you call Lord of the Rings movie sequels? No, yeah. it's the one movie.
It's a trilogy.
Right.
It's not like the Matrix movies and the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. Those are sequels. Because it's like, here's a movie.
Oh, it's like, really good. Let's expand upon this instead of completing. And I think that's kind of what Nolan's approach was to Dark Knight. It was never... Hey, we need to make more of this story, but there's a story to be told. We didn't finish it with Dark Knight, so there's going to be a third one.
Right.
And he always wanted... I guess it seems like he always wanted it to have that feel, to make it feel like they're completing the story, and not just making a sequel, because Dark Knight made $500 million in the U.S.
Right.
Favorite composers... That's an easy one for me. James Newton Howard is my absolute favorite. And you can look at all those CDs there. They're all James Newton Howard except for Pirates of the Caribbean and Superman.
Yeah. I didn't know that Hans Zimmer was doing the Pacific.
HBO. Yeah, that's kind of a weird... He has his studio full of people.
Because after watching 7 episodes or whatever, I see the title card pop up and I'm like, oh, Hans Zimmer. Like, yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah. I want to see something funny. We'll bust out Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean says music composed by Klaus Badelt. It's music composed by Hans Zimmer. But he couldn't say that because he was signed on to do exclusively The Last Samurai.
What is he talking about?
I don't know. Additional music by Raymond Djawadi, who did the first Iron Man. James Dooley, Nick Glennie Smith, Steve Jablonski, who does all Michael Bay's movies now. Just the list goes on, and Jeff Zanelli, who did Disturbia. Like, there's like 6 composers listed here. So what he has is a studio out in Santa Monica, and there's like 12 studios in it, and a bunch of composers.
He's got that building, right?
Right. And a bunch of composers work there. And they get projects come in because it's Hans Zimmer.
Yeah.
And sometimes he just farms out with the work. Like, that video game. What was it, Call of Duty?
Modern Warfare.
Right. So he, they come in, hey, we want you to do a video game. He basically sits down and writes a theme.
Well, that's that, right?
Right. Yeah. He wants...
Pirates of the Caribbean.
It is Pirates
of the Caribbean. Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah. He writes a theme, and then he goes, okay, guys, this is the themes, and this is the sound of this world, and everyone else just goes and writes it for him.
Yeah, it's cool.
So, like, on small, like, TV shows, I think that's what The Pacific was. It was going to be him and two other guys. I think one of the guys that sit in there, Nick Glennie Smith. Mm-hmm. And it basically ended up being, like, Hans Zimmer was going to write the main titles, the opening credit sequence, right. Which is pretty badass.
Totally.
And then they would kind of actually get the footage of the show and write to the show, but using the themes
right.
from the opening. Right. But I think it turned out that, like, that didn't even happen, so, like, he ended up writing, like, 10% of the music. Huh. But it's a good way to...
The music sounds cool.
Yeah, it's a good way to get a bunch of low-level composers working on huge projects.
Yeah.
And you get noticed that way. Just like...
Yeah, that's cool.
Like, Klaus Badelt came out of nowhere. It's like, oh, I can't legally take credit for this movie because I'm signed to another movie. You're the composer of this movie.
Yeah,
and this guy's
that must be an awesome feeling.
Yeah. And then the sequel comes around, and he gets kicked off the sequel, and it's just as Hans Zimmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
We haven't found a good episode title for this one.
So yeah, James Newton Howard. Love all of his scores. You guys know him because he worked with Hans on Dark Knight, Batman Begins. But
Batman's Begin. I think we have it.
See, that's how it all works out.
It does. There is purpose to this chaos world. Chaotic world.
Alright, so we've run for almost an hour now. Thanks for watching and asking questions and giving feedback and contributing to the podcast.
Definitely.
If you have questions that you would like to send... send them to our email at nolanfans@gmail.com or post them on that forums thread that you guys might be familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Follow us up on Twitter at twitter.com/nolanfans. Also, join our Facebook group page or whatever it is, facebook.com/nolanfans.
And watch our YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube. For when trailer 3 comes out, if it comes out early, it's going to pop up right on our YouTube and right into your subscribed list, youtube.com/NolanFans.
Right. Also, thank you for reminding this. Chat, remember, I can't pronounce the name too. We're doing the Nolan Fans Awesome Scale for rating Chris Nolan's movies.
Right.
When we make the new films pages... we're going to include that in there with
the IMDb
ratings and the
Rotten Tomato ratings. We used to have a staff rating, but we're kind of like, who cares what we think of the movies? We
right.
want to know what you guys think, and that way other people can see what Nolan fans consider to be the good movie,
good
or
Nolan
how
movies.
To rank to grade those movies.
Right. So those polls are on the forums. They're on the top of each movie thread. So just click on, like, The Dark Knight, and you'll see the poll.
Yeah, and vote, and feel free to vote honest. Just, you don't have to vote. It's Nolan 100%. And that's what I was kind of afraid it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're getting some good mix there where people are, you know, showing
I
which movies they like.
I did 100% on all of them.
No, I did 100% on 2.
So did I.
Yeah, staff would be us, too.
Yeah.
And really...
And basically him, because
when... I designed the film pages.
Right. The first
one.
And
at the time we had did that, like, Alex hadn't seen the older Nolan films, so it was just like, well...
You put in some numbers.
Right. So I put... Those were basically my... The ratings you see now are basically what I think of those movies. So, we need to definitely open that up.
Definitely. I think that's it.
Yeah, and, Netflix.com, we'll plug real quick, because we always do, I guess.
Yeah, but it's not helping.
Yeah. Never mind.
Never mind.
Thanks again. I guess we'll see you next time. Probably be in a week or two, depending on how quick news is.
Yeah, we'll probably do a podcast just for the trailer.
Yeah, we're definitely doing... We're going to try to have a podcast before Iron Man 2.
That's this one.
So we're going to have a reaction podcast. So hopefully, you know,
yeah.
If we see a midnight showing, we'll record it that next day and then blah, blah, blah. So
we're going to see a midnight showing.
Well, yeah. We might see...
We might go to the
screening and then we can record it that night even.
Yeah, we could.
All right.
That would be awesome. Totally awesome. Anyways, thank you for listening. I don't know what else. How do we close the podcast?
Yeah. Until next time.
Until next time.
I'm Teddy Blass.
And I'm Alex Haas. I forget we say our names. Yeah. Thank you for listening. Thank you.